Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 through 30, and reads as follows. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or See there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, during the season of Advent, we focus our minds on the different Advents of Christ. The word Advent means coming. So, we focus on the Advent or coming of Christ Jesus into the world as a true human being to be our Savior. Also, his coming or Advent into our hearts through the power of his word. Also, his second coming or Advent in glory on the last day to judge the world in righteousness. Now, the first of those Advents, his coming into the world as a human to be our Savior, was discussed in last week's sermon and, of course, will be the focus of our Christmas celebration later this month. But in our sermon text for today, we focus on the second and third kinds of Advents. His present-day Advent, his coming into our hearts, and the future Advent, his coming to judge the world on the last day. So, Len, let us now focus our attention on the basis of our text upon the present and future Advents of Christ, as we first consider his coming into our hearts through his word in this present day, and then secondly, his coming in judgment on the last day. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. At the start of our text, we see the Pharisees who were always trying to find something that they could accuse Jesus of doing, something to pick at, some way of entangling him in his talk. Well, they asked Jesus a question. They asked when the kingdom of God should come. Now what they meant by that was an earthly kingdom. They believed that the Messiah would set up an earthly kingdom and exalt the Jews above all the other nations of the world. That's the same kind of opinion that the millennialists of today have for Christ in the future, thinking that in the future he will set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. But we notice in our text that Jesus does not talk about an earthly kind of kingdom at all. He does use their same term that they used, the kingdom of God, but he talks about the true spiritual kingdom of God on earth, what we call the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of grace, rather, the kingdom of all true believers. This kingdom does not come with observation. It doesn't come in a visible way, like an earthly kingdom would. You could definitely see one earthly kingdom if it comes and conquers another. But the spiritual kingdom of God's grace is invisible. When it comes to a person, there's no outward, visible display of glory. It's internal. It happens within the heart. So we read in the first two verses of our text, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So when the kingdom of God's grace comes to a person, he is brought to saving faith in Christ Jesus, and the Lord Jesus himself enters into his heart. This is the present day Advent, or coming of the Lord Jesus through his word. In the book of Revelation, Jesus describes this gracious coming into our hearts as follows. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Through the message of the gospel, the message of God's gracious forgiveness through Christ, the Lord Jesus knocks on the door of the heart. And it is through that very message of the gospel that faith is created, whereby we open the door to the Lord Jesus and welcome him in. Whenever this God-wrought faith is produced, the Lord Jesus comes in with his blessing, building us up in our saving Christian faith, strengthening us. This is a wonderful thing, this present-day Advent, because it brings with it all the blessings that Christ earned for us, even the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life in heaven that's received through faith in him. We should therefore eagerly welcome him again and again through the power of his word. Every time we come to church, it should be our desire to have the Lord Jesus enter into our hearts and strengthen our faith. Whenever we use the word of God in our homes, privately or with our families, it's a good opportunity for the Lord Jesus to come again and again into our hearts. Those words were spoken again in response to the demand of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. But as was mentioned already, they meant something else. They meant an earthly kingdom. As our text continues, Jesus' words were not directed to the Pharisees, but to his disciples, and draw their attention to a different advent, or coming of the Lord Jesus, namely, his second coming, his second advent on the last day to judge all mankind. And the Lord Jesus mentions that in the future, before the last day, the disciples would be eager for Christ to come. They'd be eager to see him again. But they wouldn't just yet. We read, "And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." They would have to wait. And because they would be so anxious for him to return, they also needed to be careful that they would not let themselves be deceived by anyone who claimed that Christ had come, and it was kind of a secret, and that the disciples should go follow these other people, and then they'll show them Jesus. Jesus tells them not to go after such people, not to follow them. He says in our text, "And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." When Christ actually does return on the last day, everyone will know it at the same time. His coming will be suddenly recognized with the speed of lightning. It won't be a slowly circulating rumor that he's returned. Everyone will know when he's returned in glory, as he also described in our gospel lesson for today, from later in this same Gospel of Luke. Now, at the time that Jesus was speaking to his disciples in our text, he had not yet been captured by his enemies, rejected by the people, scourged, crucified on the cross. That was coming up. And that needed to happen before he could return in glory on the last day. And so Jesus tells them in our text, "But first must he," the Son of Man, Jesus, "suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." He first needed to complete the purpose of his first advent before the second advent could take place. The eternal purpose of his first advent was to redeem mankind, and that through enduring bitter suffering and death on the cross, suffering as the substitute under the wrath of God, suffering as our substitute, enduring the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. In his second advent on the last day, things will be completely different. In his first advent, he came in deep humility, and he suffered at the hands of his enemies. In his second advent, he'll come in glory and power. His enemies will not be able to inflict any pain on him, but he will pour out his divine wrath upon them. Though it is the will of God that we not know when Christ's second return or when his second coming will be, his return on the last day, he does want us to know things to expect in the lead up to it so that we're ready for it. He's told us things to watch out for, to remind us that his second coming is near. We read in our text, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." So how was it in the days of Noah? Jesus continues, "They did eat. They drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." From Genesis chapter 6, we learn that believing Christian men married unbelieving women and they were led astray. With the loss of their faith in the coming Messiah came also the loss of civic righteousness and outward morality. For we are told that the earth was full of violence. Noah was not silent, but condemned the ungodliness in the world around him, urging the people to repent and return to the Lord. In the New Testament, Noah is referred to as a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, while Noah prepared the ark, he warned the people, but there was no repentance on the part of pretty much everyone. When the flood came, only 8 people were saved: Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives. And that was it. As a parallel to the days of Noah, which Jesus says in our text will be like the days leading up to his second coming, our text also draws our attention to the conditions surrounding Lot in Sodom. We read, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Before destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, God had told Abraham that that was his plan, quote, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous. And from Genesis 19, we learn that their wicked behavior included much violence and homosexuality. This is actually where we get the term sodomy from. Now, Lot did not approve of that behavior. Lot rebuked the men of Sodom when they tried to abuse his guests. They then turned their anger against Lot and would have abused him if the angels had not stricken the men of the city with blindness. After learning of the impending destruction of Sodom, Lot tried to warn his two sons-in-law, but they would not listen. So, the only ones who were actually saved from the destruction of Sodom were Lot, his wife, and their two daughters. And then after that, Lot's wife disobeyed the Lord and was killed by him. Our text tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, do we see any parallels between those days and our days? Well, if we have any knowledge of current events, we certainly do. The world has become very wicked around us. Gross acts of violence are commonly reported. Even babies are routinely slaughtered in the womb. Certainly it is fulfilled what Jesus foretold about the last days in Matthew chapter 24, saying, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And as it was in Sodom, the perverse lifestyle of the homosexuals have gained wide acceptance in our society. All kinds of sins against the sixth commandment are committed openly and without shame. Tolerance of those sins is encouraged, if not required, in public schools and in workplaces. While any scriptural admonition and condemnation of such sins is scorned as homophobic prejudice and politically incorrect hate speech. Moreover, as the people in the days of Noah and Lot refused to hear the preaching and godly rebuke of those men, Noah and Lot, so it is in our day. Very few people will listen to the rebuke of God's holy word. Most of the time, they will simply mock at the idea of believing the scriptures at all. They regard the Bible as being a book of fables, superstition. Christians are assumed to be fools. Even many who claim to be Christians simply do not want to hear what the Bible actually has to say, especially when the Bible condemns behavior that they want to engage in, such as gambling and drunkenness and lustful dancing and so on. Instead of hearing the word of God, they would much rather listen to the enticing words of man's wisdom. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy concerning the last days, saying, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And how did God deal with the unbelievers in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot? In both cases, God destroyed them all. None were spared. As we read in our text, "The flood came and destroyed them all. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And in the last verse of our text, Jesus closes with these sobering words, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Yes, on that day he will come to judge the world in righteousness on the basis of his word. And his holy law will absolutely condemn all those who rejected him as the Savior, all those who turned away from and fought against the word of God. They will then be cast into everlasting hellfire, away from the presence of God's grace. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, saying, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." But is that not what all of us deserve because of our sins? Is that not also what Noah and Lot deserved, even though they were spared? Yes, they and their families were also sinful. They had an old Adam, a sinful flesh, just like you and I. The Bible tells us that on one occasion Noah got drunk. That's a sin. But the Bible also tells us that God regarded Noah as being a just man and righteous on account of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we read, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Likewise with Lot and his daughters. They did not deserve to be spared from that wicked city of Sodom. They too were sinful. Lot showed his sinful, worldly attitude by even wanting to live in Sodom just because it had better land. But the Bible still tells us that Lot, as a Christian, was a just and righteous man through faith in Christ. He was accounted righteous. His righteousness is the same righteousness that you and I have, as the Apostle Paul describes in Romans chapter 3, saying, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." That is the only way that a sinner can hope to stand righteous before the judgment throne of Christ. We daily commit so many sins. If God would judge us on the basis of those sins, we'd be damned. But thankfully, the Lord Jesus came into this world to redeem us from those sins. He kept the law of God perfectly as our substitute. He suffered the punishment of our sins in our place on the cross. And for his sake, we are forgiven. The Bible says that God has objectively forgiven the sins of all mankind. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." It is so sad that most people reject this gospel of salvation. You and I by nature reject this gospel of salvation. And if left in that natural state, we'd go to hell. But thankfully, the Lord, through the power of the gospel, converted our heart, made us true believers, caused us to open our heart to Christ so that he enters in with his blessings. And in that way, we can look forward to his second coming, his return on the last day, holding fast to those sweet promises of his grace. You are ready for his return. And when you see the signs of the times, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.